we're going to give the mic to our last speaker, Vincent Dagenais. He comes from the CNTU or the CSN. Do you want two mics? No, I just want one. Thank you. I'm going to be brief, but I'll give you a few minutes because you raised a question that you didn't answer, so I want you to answer to your own question. But you told us that you were going to tell us what would be the next conflict between the states and Brazil. Yes, the third world is coming.
See very well, and within the negotiation and in the strategy of the negotiation at the level of all of the Americas right now, is that the process of negotiation and the extension of the NAFTA standards is taking on alternative forms, if you'll excuse me for using the word. But at this point, Canada and Mexico are negotiating the NAFTA standards with Costa Rica and Chile and other partners within it, which is one way of extending the standards of the NAFTA throughout the hemisphere. The only ones that are resisting right now, and that are resisting for a very basic problem and geopolitical reasons as well, is Mercosur. Mercosur has set up a mechanism for integration, which is, I don't want to adore it here, but would seem is a little bit closer to the European mechanism, which has a bunch of task forces, where the task forces on questions of employment with the trade, with the participation of the trade unions, integration of Latin America, that is trying to go to a real common market with a real parliament, and perhaps something, as I said rapidly, a model that is very inspired by the European model, at the formal level at least. We can see practically, perhaps it doesn't really work out all that well between the four of them. Whatever the case may be, the only opposition to this North American model, because the three are very committed to this, the only opposition is Mercosur. But when we look within Mercosur, it actually is Brazil. And we see this very clearly because if we look at the state of the status of the negotiation, we once again use the negative approach. The Brazilians refuse to even consider this. They've refused up to now. Why? Because this goes against the idea of what they're trying to do. You can't have both. You can't have a common market with an open parliament, which is going to talk about liberalization, and then have at the same time have a mechanism which works by through intermediate committees, and it has a technical job of being in cahoots with the business people. So whether you like it or not, the two things are contradictory. That's as far as the other source of discord is the question of investment. Because in terms of investment, the Canada-American model is much more advanced between, in quotes, much more, quote-unquote, advanced than the model that exists to the south. So the idea of the Charter of Rights of the investor, the Brazilians aren't crazy for this idea, and we can perhaps understand this a little bit. And there are other models that are other restrictions. There are some restricted models, for example, the Chilean model that sees, for example, that speculative capital and recovery won't be able to do them except within more than a delay of 6 months. And there are various restrictions in Mercosur, and those countries need those limitations. And this is another element of confrontation between Brazil. But with the investment, it's not just Brazil. The other countries as well, and with the North American countries, or specifically the United States. Now I really have finished. There is one thing that's very difficult to avoid within this whole process, which is that at this time, free trade creates riches. And we can't hide this. I mean, this, we could perhaps argue about it, that it's illegal in terms of how it's distributed and everything, but there's a whole creation of riches, we have to take the directly, but it also creates poverty, but look at what kind of riches is it, of wealth is it creating? Because when we say that in a university or in a college or in a hospital, because of lack of funds, you're going to authorize internal publicity. Publicity. What you're trying to do here is you're privatizing your walls. And when you privatize your walls and when you put ads on them, this creates wealth. So this is part of this idea. If you realize there's a huge mine of wealth here, if you start thinking along these lines of what has been created, I don't like what we call mercantilization. You see what you can do with services if you open up these types of possibilities. This is why there's so much. This is why the financial circles in Bismarck are so aggressive in trying to move this idea forward and the liberalization. But it isn't liberalization. Let's not be fooled by the term. We're talking about freeing up the space to privatize it. This is what they're trying to do. And once we realize this, once we understand the logic, then we understand the logic of the system. This is what liberalize means. Liberalize means destandardize. Get rid of the standards of health, of the colors that have to be put in all the different offices and the control of the use of spaces, all the different services at all levels. And once that's clear, look at the financier. It's going to be terrific. He's going to say every little piece of wall can be privatized. So you take a room like this, he doesn't see you, he sees the space around the walls and all the wealth that he can create by using those walls. So he starts off with that. So it's not just that you just to get worse and worse services, but at the same time you have to have ugly walls scribbled with things. So you have to try and understand what this liberalization is. Once we understand it, we take a step forward, and we won't react as much to what they say about in defense of free trade, which is actual privatization of everything.
But we have in front of us two speakers, very kind of like teachers, very good teachers. Even you are a teacher, you can have, you don't need to have the last word. So we have this presentation about what is NAFTA, and Hector told you what's being done for the campaigns and everything that has been going on. So I think we should leave more time for questions and debate, but I have two little things. First, I think the most important part is what Duval said, is that these agreements that are negotiated in secret, countries as like Canada really can get what the capitalists want in an easier way. That means the market becomes everything. If we would do a debate, an open and democratic debate, to find out if we want to privatize hospitals or if we want to that everything becomes merchandise, the people wouldn't agree with that. So this is going to be done through an international agreement, a secret international agreement, where they won't need the decision of the parliament. It's going to be only the application of an international agreement that will have the effect that they wanted to have. And I agree with Doval that it's exactly that. That the trade agreements today are for is to go and to finish. It means that everything becomes every service, everything becomes a merchandise, and when this becomes a merchandise, it is then it's under the rules of trade agreements that means that everybody can compete on the same level. So as Hector said, when there are rules that the rules are equal, but the partners are not equal. It is clear that the one that is going to win is, of course, the strongest. So with the equal rules to access to market or to investment, all the services and the goods have been becoming a merchandise. And of course, now the field is open for the American companies and not for the Canadian or Mexican companies. That's for sure. I knew that you were going to you wanted to add something. So that's the only thing I wanted to say on this question of globalization. Now, on Quebec 2001, I want to underline what Hector said. This continental social alliances and what we're working with for Quebec 2001 and other activities that are very important but different. What Hector said, and I think that's the strength of the alliance, is that we are in a social a process that is social and political, and the negotiations is advancing, and in spite of all the activities and all the victories of Washington or Seattle, the negotiations continue. And when we meet, we are quite bitter because it says that, yes, the train is going, and it's going faster and faster. So we have here an obligation to be efficient on the social and political level. We need to have an impact on our governments that are now negotiating this agreement. It's not only to do an action, a very kind of strong action or a big operation that is going to be in Quebec City in between the, I don't know, the 17th or the April 20th. We have to now start a campaign that is going to have an impact, because if not, we're going to have this agreement. That means mobilization, information of all the events that are going to be held since now to April and after April too. And that means that we shouldn't concentrate only, and that's why it is important this meeting in Mexico with all the partners of the social alliances, is that we don't concentrate only on one city, on Quebec, but we make sure that something is happening in all the countries so that we could really get to have the impact that we need on all the governments that are negotiating this agreement. So the result that we would like is not the end of all the agreements or the treaties, but we want agreements or treaties that are going to do something else and not only to make sure that everything becomes a merchandise and everything becomes a market, so that the agreements that would have rights, that would have protections, for the inclusion, for example, of the ILO conventions on labor and other elements that will give agreements that will be more than just a merchandising of all the services and goods. That's the only the two elements that I wanted to underline after the two presentations, very interesting presentations that we have. Although the central point is this mercantilization of everything and their political aspect of that, because what does that mean? It means the elimination of democracy, because there will be no more decision taking by a group of human beings or democratically. If everything becomes merchandise, then we lose all that. This is not only an economical issue, this is a political and social issue. And once we understand that, we'll be able to have a debate that will go deeper on the good or the bad of the agreements as the NAFTA and not just counting how many jobs the NAFTA could create in the textile in Mexico, etc., which becomes extremely complicated where everybody's wrong or everybody's right. So we cannot just have a debate discussing whether it provoked 1% more of unemployment or less or economic growth. No, we have to see that, of course, but that's not the main issue. And the second thing that I want to underline is this campaign, social political campaign, that what we have to be very, very present in Quebec. And it won't be just one event in Quebec in 2001. It should be a whole campaign all over the continent.